did you drive a Dharma? July 29th.
And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astotra Satashi Shimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So Vinay Prabhu, we were discussing yesterday that if anybody wanted to begin the class with questions, since yesterday's class ended late, you can do that. Fax machine is going.
You hear the fax machine again?
Hare Krishna. Okay.
So?
Okay, done about you. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. Hear what instruction? I don't know exactly what you're talking about particularly. I know we should always hear in the mood of reverence, but I don't know particularly what you're referring to. I know that whatever we hear about any great personalities, it gives us an opportunity to see by comparison that we have no devotion like Lahari Mahasaya, like Vaishnava Das, like Prem Das Babaji. And so we have the opportunity to see how they interact with each other, how they interact with challenging people, with submissive people, how humble and respectful they are to all, how shastric they are, how much they weep in all circumstances due to their love for Krishna. So then we can pray that I have nothing, I'm most wretched and destitute and fallen. Please give me your mercy. So in this way, we have an opportunity to associate with these great souls, and particularly Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in whose trance all these pastimes and tattvas are coming. That's the only thing I could think of, although I don't know what specific thing you're referring to. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you. Okay, so now we're on chapter 7. Okay. Okay, so this chapter 7 is called Nitya Dharma and Material Existence. Nitya Dharma, we know from all the previous chapters, the eternal. What's all that sound? Okay, so just continue. So in the previous chapters, we learned the meaning of Nitya Dharma. Nitya Dharma means Jiva Dharma, the eternal function of the living entity in immortality. It's non-different from Sanatan Dharma, Prem Dharma, Vaishnav Dharma. And now in this chapter, we're seeing what is material existence and how material existence can be transformed into Nitya Dharma. We open up the chapter with, fortunately, an understanding now of Nitya Sukriti, that is, those spiritually pious activities that are performed either knowingly or unknowingly that nourish bhakti in the sense that they bring us to paramarthic or transcendental shraddha, that is, meeting a bona fide guru, taking shelter of him, and receiving from him the seed of bhakti, that is, the heart's tendency to turn away from matter and turn towards Krishna. So, in this chapter, we're going to be seeing live an example of a family that performed Nitya Sukriti, and we'll see their wonderful result. The chapter opens in Saptagram, which is a village near the Saraswati River, not too far from Navadvip. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts talking about merchants, particularly goldsmiths. Srila Gurudev has talked about these goldsmiths, that they're very, very miserly. They won't even give their mother a discount on a gold necklace. And he was saying this in relation to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who went and preached to all kinds of lower class people and miserly people and poor people. He didn't go for the rich and sophisticated and even pious. He went to the lowest of the low, because he is the manifestation of Patit Pavana Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this village of Saptagram, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, since the time of Udarandas Thakur, who is Sri Udarandat, who is an associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and a contemporary, since his time, all these merchants, goldsmiths, became very attracted to Harinam Sankirtan and were becoming Vaishnavas. Except there was one particular holdout, and his name was Chandidas, and his wife's name was Damayanti. And they didn't want to participate in the Harinam Sankirtan, because then they figured that they would be obligated to hold festivals themselves, and that would cost them money, and they were very miserly by nature, as these goldsmiths are. He had a lot of money, but he was just miserly. So they had 4 sons and 2 daughters. Their 2 daughters got married, and we know that daughters are Danya Khan, that Kanyadan, that is, once the father gets the daughter married, then his responsibility is over, and then the husband takes over the responsibility. But the 4 sons, they were still dependent on the Father. They were going to be the recipients of the Father's mercy, that is. And like Father, like Son, because the Chandidas and his wife never were too cheap to invite Vaishnavas over for prasadam, or they didn't even want to hear the Hari Katha because they didn't want to be involved in anything that would cost them money. Even for their own sense gratification, they were very frugal. What to speak of for Krishna? So they never gave their family Vaishnava association or Harinam, and therefore their sons became just like them, miserly, selfish. So who are the sons going to take it out on? The father. And they start wishing that the father is going to die soon so that they would get the father's inheritance. And the father picked up on their neglect. So him and his wife, you know, in the name of saving money so for posterity for their sons, and living very, very simply and frugally, their sons had turned against them. So Chandidas called a meeting, and he said, I'm doing everything for you, and yet you're neglecting me. So I'll tell you what I'll do. For the son who's the nicest to me and takes care of me the most in my old age, I gave all my youth and my middle age and my old age for you, and now we're in such old age, we depend on you, and you're neglecting us. So whoever takes care of us the most, we have a hidden treasure, a hidden wealth, and we'll give that son a hidden wealth. So the sons left, and the meeting was over, and the sons left, and they conspired with each other that we don't know who our father is going to give that money to by his unfair judgment. So we think that we should just divide it amongst ourselves. We should just figure out a way to get that hidden treasure and divide it right now. So they feigned love and affection and humility and respect, and they said to him, "Oh father, now you and mother are getting old. We think that you should do something for your spiritual welfare. Here you are struggling in household life. You should take a break and go to Navadvip, and there you can get some spiritual inspiration, some peace, and some happiness. And if you have trouble walking, we can get you a palanquin, and you could have this nice, we'll arrange this nice Vaishnavi to assist you and give you a tour of the holy places. So why not do that?" So, ignorantly innocent as he was, Chandidas thought, "Oh yes, my conversation with my sons had some good effect. So let's go." So he and his wife and this Vaishnavi, but we can walk, we don't need the palanquin. They started off for Navadvip. And then, by the association of Navadvip, they started to get some nitya sukriti just by being in the place. And their whole mind started changing. They moved to Kaliagram, which is in Navadvip. And this particular place of Kaliagram, since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the place where offenses are forgiven. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave so many offenders there. So they went there, and they built a little hut, and they themselves now became Oh, actually, I forgot a very important part. When they were there, a friend of theirs, an old friend of theirs, came and told them that your sons have locked you out of the house. And if you go there, they won't allow you back in. They found the hidden treasure. They searched the house and found the hidden treasure. And now they've already divided it. So you can imagine, after spending their whole lives, giving their lives to their children, how devastated they were. They cried and wept bitterly, you know, unceasing tears. And this Vaishnavi, who was with them, she said, actually, this is very good for you, that this creates detachment from your house, which is the cause of all of your misery, your attachment to your household life. And they said, no, we should go back there, we should explain to them, we should try and, you know, make everything right with them. And she said, are you mad? If you do that, now they'll probably kill you. They're so determined now. Because they've been actually, all these years, recent years, they were praying that their father would just die so that they could get the inheritance. So now, by the influence of Navadvipa, they became purified, the influence of this Vaishnavi, they became purified and they started realizing, yes, this was our karmic reaction. We were misers, we trained our sons as misers, so what could we expect? And therefore we've lost everything because we didn't use everything properly. So now they move to Kuligram, which is the place where offenses are forgiven. They realize their offenses. They built a hut there and they became beggars. Such a big, rich goldsmith merchant, now he became a beggar. And some people lent them money so that they could start a new business. They started a grocery store, and because he's an expert businessman, his grocery store immediately started doing well. And now he was going to use his money differently. Now he's learned his lesson by the mercy of Krishna, who completely took all of his wealth away, by the mercy of the Vaishnavi, by the mercy of Navadvip, and now by the mercy of Kuligram, they started inviting guests for every day, one guest, and then more guests. And they started serving Vaishnavas. And now, whenever he had spare time in his grocery store, he would read from Sri Krishna Vijay. He was very honest now. And he served everybody who came to his store. He served them with great hospitality. Now time passed, and now it's about 6 months later, 5 or 6 months later, and the people there in Kuligram came to know about his whole history, what happened to him, because people always talk about everybody else. And so they got a lot of faith in him, that he had become a changed person. So in this village, there was a devotee, a householder devotee named Yadava Das. And Yadava Das used to give classes on Chaitanya Mangala. And sometimes Chandi Das and his wife Damayanti used to go to these classes. And they saw that he was always serving Vaishnavas. So by his association, they were inspired to do the same, to increase their service to the Vaishnavas. So one day, they asked Yadava Das, what exactly is material existence? And Yadava Das asked, I'm not that expert in explaining things, but sometimes I go to classes of these pure devotees in Godrum, like Premdas Babaji, Vaishnava Das, our old heroes from the previous chapters. So why don't I take you there? And they can answer your question very eloquently and with much Shastic reference. So they all three went to Gojumdweep. Well, actually, they all went, but Damayanti was told by Yadavadas that these are all renunciates, they're all sannyasis, babajis. They won't allow you, the wife, to come into their association and sit with them. So she said, well, I'm such an old lady, it's not going to really make any difference. So they said, no, even old ladies. So she was sad, but she wanted to do whatever she had to do to make advancement. So they all bowed down at the kunja, and she stayed outside and sat underneath the banyan tree. And then she was going to hear everything from her husband. And her husband and Yadavadas went to the inside the kunj. And there they met the exalted Paramahamsa Premdas Babaji, Vaishnava Das, Lahiri Mahasaya, Ananta Das, and so many other Vaishnavas. Ananta Das asked, who is this new man? And Yadavadas told the whole story of how he was miserly, how about his sons, how he lost everything. So even without them asking the question, what is material existence? Ananta Das said, yes, this is known as material existence. One who knows this, he's a wise person, because he'll detach himself from this mad cycle of insanity. And one who's in it, in the material existence, he is pitiable. His life is pitiable. So we can see from these nitya sukritis that they did, of going and hearing Harikatha from Yadavadas, of going to Navadvipa, going to Kuliagram, serving guests, and among the guests, there were so many Vaishnavas, because if they were just to serve guests who were not Vaishnavas, then they might get some material pious activities. But because their guests were Vaishnavas, they got nitya sukriti from reading, from hearing, from serving. They developed faith. I'm hearing a little static in the phone. Are you hearing all right, Vinay Prabhu? Okay. So they developed faith in Ananya Bhakti, or Anulard Bhakti. And Chandidas asked Anantadas. He spoke very, very humbly. He said, yes, this is my humble prayer to you. I want to know, can you explain to me very clearly what is material existence? So Ananta Das said, yes, your question is very, very deep. But I'm not quite as expert and realized in explaining the answer as these other great sages here, like Premdas Babaji or Vaishnava Das. So I think they should answer the question. But then Premdas Babaji said, no, Ananta Das is quite qualified. Today, we will hear from him. So then Ananta Das said, all right, on your order, I must obey. Gurudev does not like when the disciple says no, when the Sri Guru orders them to preach, either to speak right before him, right in front of him and an audience, or to go out and preach in the name of, oh, I'm not qualified, I don't know anything, I'm weak, I couldn't inspire anybody. So in the name of all those things, we don't follow the order of Guru. And Gurudev said, this is very bad, that you should just stand up and speak whatever you've heard. But first, offer your obeisances, just like Ananta Das offered his obeisances and took the dust from the feet of his Gurudev. That is, his Gurudev was actually Pradyumna Brahmachari himself. And that's why Gurudev always, and Prabhupada always before classes, they would always utter elaborate prayers for the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami, Vrinda Devi, the Guru Parampara, Mahaprabhu, Radha, Krishna and their associates. So in that regard, in yesterday's class, we were just reading how Vaishnava Das was saying that if somebody is on the path of liberation, even if he's a lower nature, a lower birth, if he's starting to take to the principles of bhakti, then he's qualified to study the Vedas. And when he's a pure Ananya Bhakta, then he's qualified to teach the Vedas. So then I was saying, so why are you hearing from me then? Because I might be qualified to study, but I'm not qualified to teach. So here's a very interesting thing, that if we all pray, just like before our class we made prayers to Sukadeva Goswami and so many others, and if you, the hearers, pray also, and pray that Gurudev and Prabhupada will come through all this hearing and speaking, then and we're qualified to hear Gurudev, then they can make the whole activity a fruitful activity. Once Gurudev called on one of his young lady disciples to speak in front of an audience of 400 in Mawillamur, and because she was studying to be a lawyer. So, you know, lawyers have to be strong when they're speaking. So he called on her to speak about why our Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj had come to the West. So first, you know, in her humility, she was saying, oh, I'm not qualified to speak in front of such an advanced audience as this. And so Gurudev said, no, no, no. First of all, say all your prayers to your Guru and Guru Parampara, and that will give you inspiration to speak. And then she spoke well, and then Gurudev said, I want all my daughters to preach boldly, just like the lions jumping over the elephants. I don't want my daughters to be meow, 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 like little kitty cats. So Advaita Das is replying to, Ananta Das is replying to Chandi Das's humble question, what is material existence? So he begins to explain, very similar to things that we've heard in previous chapters, but every time it's a new situation with new personalities, sometimes the questioner is challenging, sometimes the questioner is submissive, and they're also at different stages of eligibility for hearing. So we're hearing the same wonderful tattvas in different ways, with different words and different emphasis. So Ananta Das begins to explain that the living entities are found in two states, the state of liberation and the state of bondage. Then the liberated living entities, they're also of two kinds. One kind has never been conditioned. That is, they're manifested by, they're all eternal, but we have to use language, otherwise we can't communicate. So therefore the word manifested is there, which implies a certain time, but really there was no time. So one class of living entities were manifested by Baladev, or Baladev's expansions in the spiritual realm, Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, Dwarka, like that. And then the other class of liberated persons, they became liberated. Those who are eternally liberated, their number is unlimited, and they live in the spiritual world, And their nature is transcendental, and their whole life is service to the Lord. They know nothing else. They don't know what is Maya. And then the other class, who became liberated, they began from the boundary point, from the borderline between the spiritual world and the material world, and they looked towards the spiritual world. They wanted to remember Krishna, and so they became empowered by the Chit Shakti, the transcendental energy of the Lord, and they directly went to Krishna in the spiritual realm, which abode they went to depended on their swarup, their constitutional position, whether they're a servant of Krishna or Dwarkadish or Narayan. Then the other kind of jiva is the conditioned jiva. He forgot Krishna, or we forgot Krishna, and thus we became attracted to Maya, and then Maya embraced us and began giving us all kinds of miseries. And when did this happen? It happened so long ago that the time is called time immemorial. It cannot be calculated how long it is. And in that category, there are also unlimited living entities. We turned away from Krishna and we turned towards the shadow. If you hold up your hand into the facing the light bulb or wherever you are now, it's in the light. And then as soon as you turn your hand away from the light, immediately it's in the shadow. So that's what happened. We turned away from Krishna and immediately we're in the shadow of Maya. And immediately we're under the three modes of material nature, which is compared to three ropes that are strangling us. The mode of goodness, which when contaminated is characterized by, although knowledge, one has pride in that knowledge. And he thinks he's better than others. But his life is more pure than others. And then there's the mode of passion, and then there's the mode of ignorance. And Maya gives us various kinds of bodies according to the modes of nature that we're overwhelmed by. And then those conditioned souls get a new kind of ego. They have forgotten their real ego, Krishna Nitya Das. That is, I'm eternal servant of Krishna by my very nature. We've forgotten that, and now we have a new false ego. And this false ego has two parts. One part is I, and one part is mine. In the I part, I start thinking, oh, now I'm a demigod, now I'm an animal, a sloth, now I'm an outcast, now I'm very charitable, now I'm dishonored, now I'm a friend, now I'm ugly, now I'm happy. These are all false egos, the sense of I-ness. And then the second part of the conditioned life is the sense of mindness. It's not real mindness, because the only real mindness is that Krishna is mine. And this is called mamata. And this is called the Nitya Dharma, Jiva Dharma, Prem Dharma, Bhagavat Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Paradharma. The real eternal function of a living entity is this mamata, or Krishna is mine. Krishna is my beloved, Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my son, like that. To the degree of intensity of mindness, to that degree, one is more intimate and more elevated a devotee. So, just like a tree reflected in the muddy river, everything is upside down, the roots are up, the branches are down, and everything is in its perverted reflected state in the muddy water. The fruits of the flower, the trees, the fruits and flowers of the tree, they're all now just muddy water, though they kind of look like fruits and flowers and branches. So if you try to pick a fruit or try to pick a flower from that muddy water, all you're going to get is muddy water. There's no real substance. There's substance, but the substance is the muddy water, not the flowers or the fruits. So in this perverted sense of mindness, we think, my wealth, my learning, my quality, my father, my weakness, my beauty. So these are all two kinds of false ego. And then Yadavadas, he's the like the helper of Chandidas, who's helping Chandidas to find out from Anantadas what is the meaning of material existence. That's their basic question. Yadavadas asks, so is there an I and a mind in a liberated state? So Anantadas says, yes, there is a reality, which is not imagination. But here, everything is imagination. And that imagination, that identification, this is my father, this is my son, this is compared with quicksand. Just like a person is in quicksand, the harder he tries to get out, the more and more he sinks into the quicksand. Gurudev explained that in Hawaii. So it isn't that I should just, okay, now I realize this isn't my son, let me go kill him or something, and get rid of my imagination. But rather, I go to the reality. Who is this boy, this little boy, that I call my son? He's a servant of Krishna. So now I have this boy, and my duty is to nourish his service to Krishna and make him a pure devotee. Prabhupada once said that the parent should think that I should train my children, what I call my children, in such a way that they will never take birth in another womb. So Anantadas is continuing. All material existence is impermanent, unreal, and only momentary, only fleeting. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, it's compared with you have an ocean or just any body of water, and like these bubbles come up, and then the bubbles come up for a second, and then they go back into the water. So that bubble is, I am this, I am that, this is mine, that's mine. I have this nature, I have that nature. So then Yadavadas asks, is this illusory energy in the material existence, is this illusory material existence false? So Advaitadas replied, no, the world is true, but the identification with this world, the sense of I-ness and the sense of mine-ness, that's what's false. If you think that the world is false, that's Mayavadi philosophy, and that's very offensive. Now, Prabhupada said, suppose somebody paints a picture. They're an artist, and they paint a picture. And then you walk up to the picture and you say, oh, this is false. That's very offensive to the artist. So Krishna made all this beautiful material energy. So to appreciate it as Krishna's, and what it is, it's Krishna's inferior energy, the living entities are transmigrating here, that's real understanding. But to think that it's all false, the jiva is, the mingle beyond that, the jiva is false, maya is, the material energy is false, God is false, love is false, everything is false. Then Yadavadas asks, well, why are we here in the material world anyway? So Advaitadas replies, we begin, and this is very good to put in the Jiva Tattva book of Srila Gurudev's lectures that he ordered us to do. Very, very clear. This is on page 147, because as you know, there's always so much controversy. Where did we come from? Did we fall down from Goloka Vrindavan? Or did we begin at the Tattvastha point between the material and spiritual worlds? So here, Anantadas, this is on page 147, He's explaining that we began at the boundary line. Of course, there's no beginning for the jiva, but we have to use some language or we can't communicate. And the language is compared to Saka Chandra Nyai, the logic of the moon on a branch. The moon is even further away, we find out from the Bhagavatam, the moon is even further away than the sun. But if a child asks, "Daddy, where's the moon?" then the father will say, "Look, over there, you see that tree over there? The moon is over there, sitting on the branch." So it's just to give some indication. Similarly, we have to use language. It gives some indication, but it's not the whole thing, the full or true thing. And the full or true thing is only understood by bhajan, by affectionate, emotional chanting of the holy name. So, in our language, we began at the boundary line, Ananda Das said. Krishna is the complete spiritual substance, and we are infinitesimal spiritual substance called Chitkana. The jivas who did not forget Krishna, they are empowered by this transcendental energy, the Chit Shakti, to go immediately to Krishna from the Tattvastha region, this boundary line or borderline, and to associate with the Lord in bliss. And those who turned the other way from the boundary line, they went to Maya, and Maya attracted them. Now, how could the superior spiritual energy be attracted by an inferior base energy? Gatan Agatan Patiyasi Shakti. This is due to the inconceivable power of the Lord, that something that shouldn't happen happened. So then, the jiva now, we, a living entity, is in material existence. The material existence is real, because it's created by Krishna, but I am the enjoyer of this material existence. That is false and imaginary. Then Yadavadas questioned, "Well, how come it takes us so long to get out of the material existence? We're desiring to get out, but still our false identification is not disappearing, and our real identity does not appear." So Ananta Das replied, "There's two kinds of endeavors. One is appropriate endeavor, proper endeavor, and the other is called inappropriate." So then Yadava asked, "Well, what do you mean by appropriate? Or what do you mean by these two kinds?" So Ananta Das said, "Well, some people think that one kind of endeavor will get you out of material suffering, and some people think another. Some people are attached to karmakanda." Section of the Vedas, which is for material opulence and heavenly enjoyments in the next life. Some are attached to the path of Brahma Gyan, or the path of cultivation of speculative knowledge for the purpose of merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Some people take the path of Astanga Yoga for a mystic perfection or impersonal liberation. Some people take the Samadhi Yoga, but I don't know what the difference, I personally don't know what the difference between Astanga Yoga and Samadhi Yoga, but I'll look in folio today and see if Srila Prabhupada says something. And then Yadava Das asks, Well, why do you say that these means are inappropriate? So Ananta Das replied that all these material, they're all material, because they're materially motivated. The only thing that's eternal is the endeavor to please Krishna and serve Krishna, beginning from the beginning of bhakti and ending, not ending, there's no end, but coming ultimately to the highest stage of the prema bhakti. But because the goal of these people is not eternal, as we discussed and read in all the previous chapters, first of all, they have an obstacle to attain their goal. The goal isn't even real. There's so many obstacles to obtain the goal, and they hardly ever get to the goal. But with bhakti, they'll get the results of all the goals of all the other systems, plus they'll get to the highest goal. So then Yadava Das asks, well, what's the appropriate means to get out of material existence? And Advaita Das replied, associating with pure devotees and hearing from them, and also surrendering to Krishna. And he particularly talked about the third symptom of surrender. There's six limbs of surrender. And he particularly mentioned prapati, which means general surrender. And then there are six kinds of surrender, that your general understanding that you should surrender, general acceptance of surrender, then it's applied by these six symptoms: accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable, believing with faith that the Lord is my only maintainer, he's my only protector. I can't be protected by Ashtanga Yoga, by karma, by philosophical speculation. My family is fallible soldiers. They also have to die. They can't save me from death. Only Krishna is my maintainer, and only Krishna is my protector. So, associating with pure devotees and having this surrender. And then Advaita Das, what I always call Madhuvata, Ananta Das quotes one verse about the power of sadhusanga. And this verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, which states that even one half a moment of association with pure devotees is the greatest wealth of a living entity. And regarding prapati, or surrender, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daiviyesha gunamai mamamaya duratraya, that this material nature is very difficult to overcome. In fact, it's impossible to overcome. But one who surrenders to me, he can easily cross over the insurmountable cycle of birth, old age, disease, and death. Now Chandidas, the original personality of this chapter, the husband of Damayanti, he's very, very interested, but because he doesn't have the nitya sukritis like Yadava Das had, and therefore he didn't have as much association with devotees, hadn't read as much, it was a little difficult for him to understand all these points. So he asked, oh great soul, and this is he's showing the qualification for asking the question, that one should not ask it in a challenging way, but with great regard for the speaker. That is, if you want to be able to benefit by the answer. So he's asking, oh great soul, I don't think I fully understood what you were saying. What I did understand, basically, is that we're all eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, and because we forgot him, Maya has captured us. And the only way to get out of the material existence is to, the only means of deliverance is to associate with pure devotees and to surrender to Krishna. So Ananta Das said, yes, this is enough for you to understand right now. Gradually, just keep associating with Yadava Das, and gradually, because he understands, gradually by his association you'll also understand. So we see that Yadava Das is being called Ananta Das is like representative for continuing the association of Chandi Das. So the Guru also has his representative. Krishna has his representative, the Guru, and Guru also has his representatives, his disciples. So what Guru we pick and what disciples of Guru we pick depends on our nitya sukritis and sanskars. All decisions that we make, to go this way or that way, to take shelter this way or that way, all depends on our past impressions and spiritual sukritis and association. Then Ananta Das is quoting from Jagadananda Pandit's Shanghivarta, some very, very beautiful verses, the translation of which means that the jiva is an infinitesimal part and parcel of the Lord, just like the infinitesimal, unlimited particles of light of the sun. So the jiva is like that. And if he turns away from Krishna, he develops a desire to enjoy the material world immediately as soon as he turns away from Krishna. And as soon as he turns towards Krishna, immediately he feels some reverence towards the Lord. When one turns away from Krishna, Maya immediately binds that soul in her embrace. And in that binding, in that embrace, we repeatedly suffer birth, growth, sustenance, giving off byproducts. If it's a tree, it's a fruit. If it's a human, it's a child or an animal, it's also offspring. And death, and going to hell, and again coming into a womb, and suffering all the miseries of old age, where the senses stop functioning, the teeth fall out, you can't walk anymore. This is all the embrace of Maya. And then one becomes a slave of Maya. Then the Dharma, we've been reading about Nitya Dharma, Naimittik Dharma, Vikarma, Against Dharma. We've been reading about that. So the real Dharma of the soul becomes covered by association with Maya. Just like water in association with a freezer will lose its original nature and its nature will be covered by distortion. So in that regard, I'll just tell a quick story by Srila Prabhupada, which is that I was walking with Prabhupada on a morning walk in Boston in 1968 or 69, and there was a young lady, attractive young lady, about a block in front of us. And it was a very cold morning. It was May, but still it was very freezing in the morning. And she was wearing this low-cut, sleeveless black dress, very short. And she looked like she was freezing. She was holding on to herself and trying to like warm up her arms. And she was obviously waiting for somebody. So Prabhupada said, just look. She becomes a slave for Maya and is willing to suffer under Maya's slavery, but she's not willing to become a slave of Krishna. And then Prabhupada told the analogy of Ravan. Ravan told Marichi that go to Sita and Ram disguised as a beautiful golden deer, and that will lure Ram away so that I can kidnap Sita. So Marichi said, but if I do that, Ram will kill me. So Ravana said, if you don't do that, then I'll kill you. So Marichi said, well, I'd rather be killed by Ram than a rascal like you. So he did it. So we've been a slave for Maya for such a long time, we can't imagine in our foggiest imagination doing anything else. Then the Premvivar continues. Premvivar of Jagannanda Pandit continues. Sometimes, in my slavery to Maya, I'm thinking I'm a king. I'm a king. And sometimes I'm thinking, I'm the subject of the king. And sometimes I'm thinking that I'm an erudite brahmana. And sometimes I'm thinking that I'm a hard-working sudra. And sometimes I'm thinking that I'm very happy. And sometimes I'm thinking that I'm so distressed. Sometimes I'm in heaven, I'm thinking. And sometimes I'm thinking that I'm in hell. And sometimes I'm thinking, I'm innocent. And sometimes I'm thinking I'm a slave. And sometimes I'm the master. Then, by fortune, by great fortune, and that means many millions of births of Nitya Sukritis, known or unknown, spiritual pious activities, one gets Sadhu Sangha. Fortune doesn't mean by chance, you know, that Krishna is some mean person who just by chance gives one person Sadhu Sangha, not another. But by millions of births of Nitya Sukritis, one gets Sadhu Sangha. And from that, he gradually gets to know what is his own real identity. And then his life begins to become meaningful. Then he becomes indifferent to material enjoyment. Then he starts crying out to Krishna. Then he's repenting and lamenting. Oh, why did I waste so many births in Maya? Oh, Krishna, I'm your servant, but I've turned away from you and I've turned away from the happiness of your service. And now I've become a slave of Maya. How long has this been going on? And when will I come back to you? This is actually the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. All of the songs in our Gaudiya Geetakut songbook are all the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. So Gurudev said we can think of them while we are chanting. And that devotee prays, oh, protect me from this Maya. Then, by Krishna's mercy, when Krishna sees him weeping, by Krishna's mercy, he transports that devotee to the spiritual world. And that devotee becomes empowered by the Chit Shakti, who is ultimately Srimati Radhika. Maya loses all of her power of attraction for that devotee, and he attains, ultimately, Krishna's lotus feet. So he's concluding, Anantadas is concluding, Premvivart is concluding that therefore the only infallible method for getting out of the miseries of material existence is chanting of Hare Krishna in Sadhu Sangha. And while chanting Hare Krishna, not having the mind go here and there, but absorbed in all the very beautiful prayers and also in the pastimes of the Lord, along with prayers. Prayers to be able to serve in those pastimes. And prayers of humility, like Samsara dukkha jalado patitasya kama krodadina kramakarai kavalikatasya turvasana nigatitasya nirashrayasya chaitanya chandra ramadehi padalamba. Oh, Chaitanya Chandra, I'm underneath the ocean of material existence. And that's not the end of it, because I could just zoom up to the top if I was a good swimmer. But I'm in a net underneath the water. And if I had some scissors, I could break out of the net. But my hands are chained behind my back, not even in front, but behind my back are the chains of wicked desires. And at the same time, I don't even have the wherewithal to think about anything because I'm being eaten alive by the crocodiles and alligators of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. I have no shelter if you don't give me shelter. Please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. So prayers like this while we're chanting. We can also pray to any of the Lord's associates, like Govardhan, Vrinda, Jamuna, to save us, because they're also there in the Lord's pastimes in the Hare Krishna mantra. Then Advaita Das, then Yadava Das asks, but you say we should associate with sadhus, but I see that sadhus are also oppressed by various, you know, difficulties and trying circumstances in this world. So Advaita Das said, Ananta Das said, that's only external. It only appears that they're the same as the bewildered jivas who are oppressed by so many circumstances. And the association of sadhus is also very rare, because unless one has enough nitya sukritis, and thus the Lord's mercy, it's very difficult to recognize who is a real sadhu. There's two categories of jivas who are in Maya. One loves it and just keeps going, even though they're suffering. I can't imagine any other life. And then the other, they hate it and they try to get out of it. And they're trying to understand, by proper association, what is the difference between matter and spirit. They seek liberation, but not impersonal liberation, but service to Krishna. And they take to sadhusanga. And then there's also the kind of jiva who's already liberated. And that the one who descends is already liberated, or who in previous lives have perfected his life. So then that jiva in Maya, who is of the second category, he will take shelter of that pure sadhu. Then Ananta Das quotes from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The jivas, how many jivas are there? Like, I think I'm so important, you know, I think I'm the center of my universe. But actually, there are unlimited jivas, just like there's unlimited particles of dust. And only a few have human forms or demigods forms, and even fewer take to religious principles. Even fewer desire liberation, even fewer attain liberation, and even fewer are peaceful, because they are Narayana Parayana. They think that there's nothing beyond Narayana. Heaven or hell is insignificant to them, because their whole life is Lord Narayana. And in one of Srila Prabhupada's purports, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, He explains that this principle in relation to Maharaj Parikit, because Maharaj Parikit was cursed to die in 7 days, but he didn't really care. He didn't even make any endeavor to counteract the curse, though he could have. But he thought, all right, this Brahmana's son has cursed me. Very good. Because now I can take the opportunity to leave my kingdom and just hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Parikit is very interesting because previously, just prior to the incident of his being cursed, he was traveling his kingdom and he saw a cow and a bull. And the bull was standing only on one leg. It was beaten. Its 3 legs were beaten by Kali Yuga in the disguise, Kali Yuga himself, in disguise of a Kshatriya. So Parikit Maharaj asked, who did this to you? And the bull didn't blame Kali. He knew that Krishna was behind everything. So then Parikit Maharaj said to him, you are actually Dharma, the personality of religion, because you understood that Krishna is behind everything. One who, the same destination that is destined for the performer of irreligious activities, that same destination is destined to the person who points out the performer of irreligious activities. That is, if we blame anybody else for doing anything and not see Krishna or Narayan behind everything, we go to the same place. We have to go to the same hell as the wrongdoer because we are absorbed in him and so his qualities come to us. So now Ananta Das is saying, and even fewer than those who are Narayana Parayana are devotees of Krishna. And it only looks like they're the same, just like Gurudev just went into the hospital a few days ago and then came out of the hospital. He's not out of the hospital yet. Gurudev's not out of the hospital yet. He's still in the hospital and he's supposed to come out of the hospital tomorrow.
Kidney stone. He had a kidney stone.
He had a what?
Kidney stone.
He had a kidney stone, so they had to do some kind of operation. So it looks like Gurudev is undergoing the same tribulations as we are, but not at all. It's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the pure devotee is, as Ananta Das said before, Daivihi yesha gunamayima mamaya jaratraya mamaili ye prabhajante mayametam tarantate. Material nature is very difficult to, or impossible to overcome, but one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. So a pure devotee, as explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is never affected by invalidity, old age, disease, or anything. But he appears to be so in his human life pastimes in order to fool those who are against, to keep them away, and also those who don't have enough sukriti. And those who have the sukriti, nitya sukriti, to take a shelter to increase their loving mood and loving service. Then he's explaining that there are 2 kinds of Krishna devotees. One is the householder and one is the renunciate. So now because Chandidas and soon his wife Damayanti will also be hearing all this katha, because he's a householder, now we're getting to hear in the next several pages all about Grihastha devotees. So Yadavadas asked, you've told us about different kinds of devotees. I'm sorry, different kinds of people. So which kind of people is really can give satsanga. So then Advaita Das, Ananta Das says, one kind is conscientious, just in the material level. One kind desires liberation, one kind is liberated, and one kind is a devotee. Then there's two kinds of those who are liberated. One kind wants Krishna praying and Krishna's pastimes, and one kind is impersonal and proud. Only the kind that wants Krishna's pastimes and to serve in them and to absorb himself in them, only his association is beneficial. Otherwise, the other kind of impersonal, so-called liberated persons, they're offenders. And if anybody associates with them, he himself will fall down. And then he quoted the verse that's been quoted in previous chapters. That those who don't take shelter of you, O Lord, even if they consider themselves, vainly consider themselves liberated, because they haven't approached to lotus feet, their intelligence is impure, and actually they're conditioned. Because they've neglected you, they're sure to fall down. Then, amongst those who are devotees, there's two kinds. One is those who are attracted to Krishna's Aishwarya feature as Lord Narayan, and the other is attracted to Krishna's Madhurya feature. And those who are attracted to Krishna's Madhurya feature, those who are rasic and bhavak devotees, their association is the most beneficial for us. Then Yadava Das asks, could you be a little more clear? And so Ananta Das replies, can you explain to me clearly the two kinds of conditions for me who are very slow and slow to understand? Could you explain the bhaktas, who are the bhaktas? So Ananta Das replies, there's two kinds of devotees. One is called Grihastha devotee, and one is called the renounced devotee. And we'll discuss the Grihastha devotee for a couple of minutes, and then the session will end. And then, tomorrow, we're going to begin with a 4-page-long footnote by Srila Gurudev. So Yadava Das asks, what is the nature of Grihastha devotee? So Ananta Das replies, it's not just that, griha means house, but it's not just that if one has a house, he's a grihastha. One has to have a wife, one has to be married, and one has to follow the Vedic rules and regulations. If he doesn't follow the Vedic rules and regulations, then he's not a grihastha, he's a grihamedi. Grihamedi is a married couple or family which makes the household the center of the existence. And the grihastha, though they're married, their whole household has Krishna as the center of existence. We hear with our ears, we see with our eyes, and each sense becomes attached to its object. The sense of hearing drags the ears, the sense of seeing drags the eyes to various objects of sense, various objects of sense enjoyment, and thus one becomes attached. As much as we become attached to sense enjoyment, to that much it becomes, exactly that much, it becomes difficult for us to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. Suppose In my house, I have a TV set. And my TV set, I also have DVDs of Prabhupada and Gurudev and the Ramayana and Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya and Prahlad Maharaj. And then I can also switch the channel and put on Superman or what's some shows of the day?
Batman
or anything. And then suppose I choose Superman or Batman. What will happen? It's two things happen. One, well, a lot of things happen. Number one, not only do I lose that valuable human time, like it took me billions of births to get to the human platform in the first place, and then each moment that's not spent towards Krishna consciousness cannot, because the human life is so short, remember, they're all bubbles in the ocean. So, number one, each moment can't be spent imperceptibly, can't be bought back by millions of dollars. So, number one, I've wasted billions of dollars. For second thing, the impressions of all those people in the show enters my being, and I start thinking like them, and that lives with me for many, many births. That's the second bad thing that happens. And then the third bad thing that happens is I lose my inclination. I start thinking, wow, and you get like really intoxicated by, wow, I can't believe it. Just by turning this knob, I get to live in this fantastic world of Superman, Batman, Phileas Fogg, and others. And then I lose my interest in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness seems like an absurdity or something insignificant. And then I become a Vishayi. There's two kinds of Vishayi. There's the normal Karmi Vishayi and the so-called devotee Vishayi. Now, here's the activities of the devotee Grihasthas. Devotee Grihasthas are not Vishayis, because the center is Krishna. The wife is the Dharma Patni. She's not my servant, but she's Dharma Patni. That means she's my partner in assisting each other to become Krishna conscious. And she's not my servant, she's the maidservant of Krishna. And as such, I revere her and I always help her in her service to Krishna and enthuse her in her service to Krishna. My sons and daughters are also servants of Krishna, and all the eyes of all the family members are riveted towards the deity and activities of devotional service. In this regard, I'd like to interrupt our program for a moment for a commercial. And the commercial is that there's a devotee company called ISKCON TV, and you can find them on the internet. They have their own website, and they sell all kinds of videos of Krishna conscious puppet shows, cartoons, like Hindi movies with subtitles of Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Krishna, Ramayana. So I recommend for all family members that you get that. And also, this is a commercial. And the other thing is, there are so many movies and audios and DVDs of Srila Gurudev, and so many movies of Srila Prabhupada that you can also get from ISKCON TV, ITV. And there's so many audios and videos you can order from Isha Prabhu, and you can also download them for free from PB Webcast. And if you're on the Hare Katha mailing list, then you automatically get them every 3 or 4 days. Then the nose of all the family members, the parents and the children and the grandparents, they're engaged in smelling Tulsi Devi. And their tongue is engaged in Krishna Nam and honoring Krishna Prasadam. Their skin is engaged in touching the limbs of devotees, particularly the lotus feet. And all of their hopes, all of their activities, their desires, their service is all in the service of Sri Krishna. Service to the Lord is their life, and their whole life is a big festival of Krishna consciousness. Now these devotee grihasthas, Anantadasa is saying, they they are not disturbed by Kali Yuga. So it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that in Kali Yuga people should become grihasthas. Now, this one statement, in Kali Yuga people should become grihasthas, has a 4 or more page footnote by Srila Gurudev, which we will begin tomorrow. Are there any questions or comments?